From Southside to the world, and in association with Middlesbrough Library Services, it's the Book of the Month with Jill Appleton.
For October, we have been reading The Fat Years by Chan Koon Chung.
For November's Book of the Month, we decided to give a novel by Geoffrey Archer a try.
This month, we have been reading the unusually titled The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society by Mary Ann Schaffer and Annie Barrows. For our January Book of the Month, we have been reading Dark Matter by Michelle Paver.
For February, we have been reading another offering from one of Southside Broadcasting's favourite authors, Ian Lennox.
Our March Book of the Month is Small Island by Andrea Levy.
Book of the Month. More than a podcast, greater than a radio show, quite simply an audio treat for the enlightened with Jill Appleton and Jill Prowse. And every so often, some extremely lovely writers. From Southside to the world, and in association with Middlesbrough Library Services, it's the Book of the Month with Jill Appleton.
In the lead up to the 4th Middlesbrough Literary Festival, we are reading another book by one of our visiting authors, Jenny Finch. The book is called Death of an Elver Man, and it is Jenny's debut novel. The Somerset Levels is the setting for this dark and mysterious crime novel, and the story centres around trainee probation officer Alex Hastings. Not your traditional heroine, Alex is clumsy, unsociable, disorganised and struggling to get to grips with the local customs, traditions and dialects of the area. The Elver Man is well known in the poaching underworld, collecting young freshwater eels known as elvers. When one of Alex's probationers, Kevin Mallory, is wrongly accused of his murder, Alex decides to find out whatever she can to prove him innocent.
Alex approached Monday afternoons with dread. Gary, the senior probation officer, held his weekly meeting, and it was always his meeting rather than a forum for the team. Here he doled out instructions, new policies for the ever-increasing bureaucracy, and shared out new clients and assignments. She sat in the staff room, waiting for his arrival and considering her colleagues. There are four other officers, two short following resignations and transfers. She was the only first-year officer and was still on a light caseload as she felt her way around the system. The others were all handling extra clients, and she wondered how they managed the sheer volume of work. Paul Malcolm dealt with the youngest offenders, lads who were the bane of social services. Thin, rangy and always slightly untidy, he wore an air of perpetual hope. Paul Malcolm believed in his work with a missionary zeal that carried him through setbacks, disappointments and the constant battles he fought against the lures of cider, glue and increasingly, petrol sniffing. Eddie handled Category B offenders, the bread and butter of probation work. Most of his caseload was repeat offenders on licence, or those on their last chance before imprisonment. He was short, rotund, and padded around the office, looking rather like an amiable teddy bear, but his wrath was fearsome, and most of his clients treated him with respect. Despite his girth, Eddie had a fondness for walking, hiking, and camping, and frequently hauled small groups of wayward youths off into the wild for some character-building outdoor living. Alex was using every trick she could think of to avoid being dragged along on these expeditions. She rarely agreed with her clients, but she was also of the opinion in this sort of activity came under the cruel and unusual punishment heading. The only other woman on the team was Margaret, and Alex looked at her as she sat upright and self-contained in the corner and wondered what on earth had brought her into this line of work. Margaret specialised in serious offenders, violent or sexual offenders, often with multiple convictions. She dealt with their mental states, kept them to their licence conditions, breached them with cool efficiency when necessary, and still had time to lecture part-time at several regional universities. In her neat suit, court shoes and perfect makeup, she was the complete opposite of Alex, a fact they both acknowledged by a polite nodding of heads and greeting each morning.
While Alex struggles to keep on top of her work, she is unaware that her inquiries have brought her to the attention of the real murderer. Mistaking him for one of her probationers, Alex has now been added to his hit list to prevent her from revealing his true identity. Family feuds, gang warfare and revenge killings follow, and unbeknown to Alex, she is also being stalked by the cold-blooded murderer.
After the debacle of the previous day, Derek knew it was only a matter of time before the inevitable manhunt arrived at the cottage door, and there was a lot of stuff to get rid of before that happened. He was tempted to just burn the place down immediately and make his escape, But he'd put a lot of thought into his plans, and he wasn't going to let a little run of bad luck destroy it all. Anyway, he knew fire was extremely unreliable when it came to hiding evidence, especially where dead bodies were concerned. The police and fire brigade had all sorts of tricks, dental records, measuring skeletons and stuff like that, so even a badly burned corpse could still be identified. He couldn't risk them finding out about Frank, not before he was finished. There was definitely an odd smell in the kitchen, even with the freezer locked tight, and when he lifted the lid, the stench increased dramatically. Derek screwed his face up in disgust, but he made himself lean over to examine the contents. There was still an awful lot to get rid of, he thought, and there was the problem of the bones, but he'd been thinking about that. More urgent was the need to make it hard to identify the remains. Head and hands, he thought. That's the key to it. Head and hands. Without those, they had no chance. He dropped the lid and went into the kitchen to fetch his butcher's saw and a block of wood to prop under the neck. The freezer was definitely not doing its job properly, and Frank was looking very much the worse for wear. After a moment's hesitation, he fetched a plastic bag. Getting it over the lolling head was a difficult and messy task, but finally he was ready to cut. The smell was just as bad, but at least he didn't have to look into those watery grey eyes as he worked. Derek had hunted all his life, butchering his own catch without a second thought, and laughing at those soft or squeamish folk who turned away from fur coats or stuffed animals. But that cold, empty gaze seemed to stare at him accusingly from the freezer. He shook his head as if to clear it, and bent to his task.
I enjoyed the descriptive details of the Somerset Levels in this book, which is an area I'm unfamiliar with, as well as learning about the local traditions and their dialect. Some of the scenes are a bit gory and made me shout yuck as I was reading. Even so, I still enjoyed the story and I'm looking forward to finding out what else is in store for Alex in the future. Death of an Elver Man has been nominated for 4 different literary awards, including the Crime Writers Association first novel and the Commonwealth Writers Award. The author has lived in Essex, London, Birmingham and Somerset, but now resides in the North East and currently teaches psychology for the Open University while working on the next book in this series. If you'd like to meet the author, Jenny Finch, she will be present at our crime evening on Wednesday the 20th of June at Central Library, and tickets are £5 and can be purchased from the Middlesbrough Town Hall and Theatre box office.
Book of the Month. More than a podcast, greater than a radio show, quite simply an audio treat for the enlightened with Jill Appleton and Jill Prowse, and every so often, some extremely lovely writers.
If an insurance company representative knocks at your door and tries to get you to accept a cheque following a motor accident, what should you do? Let's ask Charles Ather.
What you should do is be very suspicious. If they're offering payment before you've even made a claim, then I believe they must think your claim is worth far more. Whatever you do, don't sign away your rights.
So if you're approached in this way,
remember, you have a right to choose your own solicitor and get a proper assessment of your claim.
Call Middlesbrough 222-575 or text advice to 81400 now.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Pharma Nord is the chemist to call for your nutritional needs. All of our products have been built on scientific research to help with your health. Pharma Nord can even help in such areas as senile dementia, strokes, and Alzheimer's. All our products are made in accordance with pharmaceutical standards and guidelines. And all our products are just one call away. Call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989. That's 01670 519989. Or visit pharmanord.co.uk. Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
I wanted to find out from a real solicitor what happens when you let your insurance company look after your car accident claim. So I spoke to Charles Affer of Affer & Co.
Insurance companies make money from selling your claim to their own legal people. If you want solicitors who you can speak to face to face, someone who worked to achieve the best possible offer of compensation, you're better off choosing someone you know.
Someone you know? That sounds familiar, Charles.
Choose the one you know, Affer & Co.
Call 01642 222575 or text advice to 81400 now.
Being chosen as an author for the Southside Book of the Month with Jill Appleton is one of life's top honors. Now on to the Booker Prize for Literature.
From Southside to the world. In association with Middlesbrough Library Services, it's the Book of the Month with Jill Appleton.
It is indeed. We spoke to Jenny Finch, the author, of course, of Death of the Elven Man, and that's available as a podcast already, sorted through, as produced with our sister service, Siren 107.3 FM. But in the studio, we have two fine folk, joining, obviously, Jill Appleton and myself. As ever, the return of Jill Prowse. How are you, Jill?
Not so bad, thank you.
Marvellous. Last time, of course, you phoned in your review of the Blade itself. Scary, but this time around, more blades. Your views before a moment of Death of the Elven Man, after we just say a quick hi to D World as well. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent, because D hasn't quite managed to work her way through all the book as yet. Managed to reach page 4, but still, that's Jill, share with us, what did you make of Death of an Elven Man?
I absolutely loved it. I only got the book myself on Tuesday and thought, oh dear, I'll just read what I can. Didn't get to open it up until Wednesday, and I finished it last night. I couldn't put it down. I thought the characters were great, nicely built up for you. I really took to Alex, who's sort of the main character, but then all the characters around her, I felt you got to know them really well. If they were a baddie, you really didn't like them. And they were, you know, like Derek, he's really a villain. But I thought the whole book flowed excellently, and there was never a time when I was getting bored or I didn't want to turn the page to see what happened next. And it was like it was a good story as well as a really good plot. So yeah, what can I say? I can't wait for the next one.
This is high praise indeed from that perspective. Does it make you want to read the whole thing now, Dee?
I am quite annoyed that I haven't read it now. Yes.
Do that.
Yes. I may actually get it.
Well, I was going to say, I think, you know, in addition to that, obviously, if you buy the books, it's even more wonderful, but clearly Middlesbrough Library Services provide all sorts of other bits and pieces with that. Jill Appleton, I take from your perspective, you found a generally good session, really, a good read.
Yes, yeah, it was a very good read. Bit gory in parts, but that was okay.
Yeah, I mean, what is it, this fascination we have with crime fiction? I mean, it's something which I'm sure people will sort of go about. For the, Jill, is it mean protocols? Was it just a case of you like the procedurals? Was it the characters?
I do like crime fiction. I mean, yeah. I started off with Agatha Christie when I was really young, you know, started reading Agatha Christie's. And there's something, if it's a good one, you can get some truly great, gruesome sort of not good ones. But if it's something like this, I like the fact that there are really good plots and twists and turns. And I like it when you don't know predictably what's going to happen over the next few pages. I just think that, you know, a lot of people do like crime fiction, and I think that if I could say one thing to people, give Jenny's book a go, because I just think it flowed so easily that even if you haven't, if you've got a busy life like I have and haven't got much time for picking up a book, this one you could read quite easily and get quite quickly back into it the next night. So yeah, just have a go with it.
We have in the past had texts and books for Book of the Month, which we felt could do with some ruthless editing. You can't really say that in this particular instance, because it did actually flow very nicely.
It did, it did. And there was no part of it that I thought, well, that went on a bit too long, or they could have cut that out. I thought every bit was relevant to the plot and to the flow of the book.
Hmm. This is looking good. Dee, we'll come to yourself. Crime, fiction, general scenarios from that point of view. Yeah. Will you be attending? Because this is, of course, part of the bonus. Hopefully you're listening to this podcast, because it's actually going out on the eve of the big launch, yes, to celebrate the 4th Middlesbrough Literary Festival. The Olympic torch is coming to Middlesbrough. Understandable. Nicely put together, I thought, really. Yeah. Good planning there, Jill. But Dee, will you be attending the Wednesday 20th of June Crime Evening in Central Library? Obviously representing Southside, etc., hopefully sort of say a quick hello to Jenny herself.
Yes, well, that would be cool. That's a plan. So we'll see how we go.
Very good, because it's looking good. Tickets, I can't believe this, Jill. Is there a misprint? £5?
Sure. Sure. It's unbelievable. Good bargain, isn't it? For a night out.
Not only Jenny Finch, of course, you've also got Valerie Laws, Danielle Ramsey as well from that point of view. And if we haven't already done features, we're looking to obviously feature most of the authors in some way, shape or form, either as interviews or packages for that. Jill, overall, from your perspective, again, we've looked at a lot of crime texts. I mean, in the three or four years or so we've been doing Book of the Month here. Any areas which you'd say you'd like to see more of? I mean, any characters that you would have liked to have seen?
Well, I liked Alex. I thought I could relate to Alex, because I'm not very organised. And the people in the office that you work with, you can just sort of like compare them with people that you've worked with yourself in the past. So I'd like to see more of Alex Hastings and see what else she has to deal with in the future. So that would be really good. I really enjoyed it.
The second book, I gather, is already more or less being completed speak. Mm. And there is going to be a four-part package, or at least a four, which is, it's not a trilogy, it's a quadrilogy, I suppose, technically speaking. From that point of view, presumably you'll be first in the queue for them, Jill, perhaps.
I certainly will. And you could also definitely see this as an adaptation on the telly in a series.
Next question. Whom would you actually like to see?
I knew you were going to ask
me that. Fantasy casting scenario. Who
I'm not very good at it. I know faces from people on telly, but I'm not so good with the names.
Well, would you, I mean, in terms of age routine, would you see it as somebody more, shall we say, in the sort of late 30s? Would you see it as a young Keira Knightley role for Alex? Would you see it
I would see her as sort of middle to late 20s rather than 30s, I think, because she's come fresh out of doing the course and things. Mm. You could see somebody like that, but I don't know. I mean, I just maybe one Fox. What Amelia Fox? She's quite good at doing that kind of character. Mm. Somebody could be a bit gritty, because she is. She's not your sort of normal heroine. Like, you could see, was it Sue, who was her friend who moved in with her and everything? She's more of a girly girl, whereas Alex needs somebody who's a bit more gritty, I think.
There was a feeling I felt at times with Alex, and we sort of, I mean, who knows? This will probably be elaborated on in future books, where there was that notion that she wasn't really that comfortable in social situations.
Oh, definitely, yeah, and had to be forced into them, but then sort of enjoyed it once she got herself there.
Except, of course, when she almost drowned with the raft incident.
Yes, yeah, I thought that whole scenario was really good, actually, because it showed a different side to her.
Panic, really, on that sort of basis. And who knows what sort of things she could have actually picked up while she was rescuing her other soul and so on. We talked about the realism that comes across. I mean, Jill Appleton, you know, you clearly worked in past lives with government organisations and lines from that, and slop SNOP, STOP, yeah. etc., acronyms, constant yeah. Whitehall bureaucratic measurements.
I do recall all that.
Managers yeah. who effectively get really keen on actually saying, this is what we're going to go for, this is the whole system, etc., yes, appraisals.
I live with that every day, Alex, so yes, that's very familiar to me.
I wasn't that excited. In these days where the Prime Minister's having his personalised text read out at various inquiries, you know, we can't sort of talk about that, Leveson, but you, so did you find that had a resonation with you?
Yeah, it did, and my husband, he works in a similar sort of job, working as a social worker and with adults with various problems, and I kept saying to him, would this really happen? Would the girl have to go out on her own and make a visit? And he's gone, yeah. So he said, yeah, that sort of thing that does go on. So he seemed to think it was very true to the details, yeah.
So was that classic line we talked about, Derek, of course, where there was the notion of Derek and Alex conceivably being real nemeses, and they never quite had, apart from the time where they met in the house, and obviously Alex thought it was somebody completely different that she'd gone to actually see, yeah. who is no longer there because he'd been killed, and so on, so all sorts of other areas within that. Did it keep the tension going for yourself, Jill?
Oh, it did, yeah. I thought it was quite clever, and I was tense for her. I was thinking, oh, get out of there now, get out, you know. Mm. And I thought it was clever, the fact that all through the book, really, you know what's going on, but Alex hasn't got a clue because she, in her mind, still saw this Frank and has no idea. And then it was so clever at the end when it all started to fit together and Kevin, the little lad who he knocked two bells out of, sort of went, that was Derek, you know, and then it all sort of came together. And I thought it was clever the way at the end you had that whole scenario of him not just going straight for her in where he wanted to kill her, but trying to lure her by taking one of her friends and colleagues, you know. I thought the whole book was very clever.
In a previous interview, Jenny Finch described Derek as being a psychopath. Would you say psychopath or sociopath?
Bit of each, actually. I think I would like to say which he was. I mean, there was almost this gruesome logic to the man, insofar as you thought, well, in his own mind, he actually justified everything. In his own mind, you know, I've got this to do, my son killed himself, all these people have to pay for this, everybody has to pay, even Ada has to pay.
And
then I'll go
friend.
Back, and well, yeah, that was particularly, wasn't it? And then he goes back, then I'll go back to my normal life, you know.
And just think, if those people hadn't actually been doing the bird watching, could have been a different tale entirely, really. Could
exactly,
have,
you know, yeah.
Sorted that thing through. Talked about, obviously, strong women characters. I was particularly fond of Ada. I mentioned this before. I thought a bit of heart-rending scenario with Ada, obviously having difficulty with numbers, and her son, Kevin, having difficulty with letters. You know, there's a nice little line there, sort of just touched on, which actually did manage to, I think, get a nice impact in terms of actually having sympathy for the characters, who otherwise you might have thought, well, why is she actually waving that knife outside, out of her letterbox?
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, and Iris as well, Derek's wife.
Oh,
she
yeah.
stood up to him, didn't she, in the end?
In the
off.
End,
yeah.
Exactly.
That was so tragic as well. That was real pathos with him coming out of prison. Was it Big Bill or whatever you called him? And
what?
Then, and you know, what happened to him? And her sort of, that sort of brought her almost back to life and almost gave her the courage to do what she did.
Stacks of characters in the hands of a lesser author could have actually gone to probably about 600 or 700 pages. It didn't.
No.
It was...
No, it was just a good read. Didn't go too far. And the point was that in quite a short length of time, she really built up the characters so that you really responded to them without it having to go on for pages and pages and pages.
Not that we're sort of against, you know, long, wonderful novels, you know, even though Hilary Mantel, I still think, could benefit from some editing. As we've said, Jill, I mean after
War,
but her latest sequel to that is even bigger.
I know.
I believe it's what she's trying to do, to build bricks of bricks of all sorts, etc. Dee, from what you've heard, are you going to go for it?
It really sounds very interesting. I'm very, very intrigued, actually, and hearing how much others have enjoyed it so much, it really does sound like I am going to go and seek this out and read
well,
it, yeah.
There we are, target audience. Because Dee hasn't completed the book, obviously hasn't sort of worked through the whole process, it wouldn't be fair to ask her for the scores, but we, needless to say, need to go to Jill Prowse, first and foremost, for this.
Well, what can I say? Just from personally a point of view of just thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying the whole book, I'm going to give it a 9.5, because if I give it a 10, then it's got nowhere to go with the next one when we review that. So 9.5.
So you're effectively saying Jenny has actually moved into the Marina Fiorato style of your favourite author?
Yeah, yeah, completely different. Two ends of the spectrum, yeah. Two different types of book, but love them both.
There you go. Jill Appleton?
I think I'll give it a 9. Enjoyed it very much.
Sort of a eight and a half-ish, because it's not a genre I'm necessarily warm to, but at the same time, because she's such a wonderful person, as yes. you've sort of said, I mean, I agree with this, so I agree with your definition, Jill Appleton. You know, Jenny is a wonderful person, and hopefully will be joining us, because Saltburn isn't that far away,
yeah,
so should
yeah.
be in the studio before too long, etc. It's close to the south of France. Yeah. I don't know why she switched from the south of France to Saltburn, personally, or vice versa, but still. I will go for a 9. 8.5 going up to a 9 for that. So I think yeah. we'll go medium 9 for that. Okay, right, we've mentioned obviously the 20th of June, the crime evening is when the things actually take place at the Central Library, but the festival, of course, itself kicks off on Saturday
tomorrow.
The 16th of June,
yeah.
the day after hopefully a good result for England in the European Championships. There we are, you've got all sorts of things. Quick highlights from the programme, Jill?
Well, I just want to point out tomorrow's opening is the venue's been changed from MEMA to the Central Library, but
I'm pleased you did
night.
That. I'm pleased you did that, because I know that the emails had actually gone through a message going out, but you can't, you know, that's why we haven't mentioned the location until you actually officially said this is where it is, because I wasn't sure whether we're going to have to yeah. wander around it. We're going to follow the Olympic torch.
So yeah, Central Library, but I'll be guiding people from MEMA to the library if
that's
they do
what
turn
you
up
are
the
Jill you're the guiding yeah. person you are yeah. indeed that, you
know, and it'll be nice one. Nice we'll have exactly. it's going to be music and poetry.
Sarah Dennis is performing.
Sarah will be
Yay,
there, yeah,
fantastic.
Some of our favourites, but it'll be good. And there's lots of wonderful things going on during the week. We've got a few writing workshops. They're always very popular. We've got Dean Wilkinson, one of Southside's friends.
He was speaking to us only a week and a bit ago, actually, about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, next Saturday
exactly.
at Acklam yep. for the kids to write script writing, so that'll be great. Janet McLeod Trotter on Monday at Acklam Library. There's loads of things. There's the Tudor Fashion Show.
How do people find out about it? How do they go online?
Well,
and find
we've got
these
our website.
Through?
If
yes.
you look onto the Middlesbrough Literary Festival website, we've got the brochures are dotted around all over the place. Pop in any Middlesbrough library. So go on the Middlesbrough Council website. There's a link there.
There you are. It's fantastic. Will you be going to some of these, Jill?
Oh, I'll try to. Yes, definitely.
Very good. Very good. And Dee?
Yes, most definitely. I shall be attending some.
And as I say, if we haven't already done interviews with your favourite authors from the festival, we will be doing them as the whole thing proceeds already. We've mentioned that Jenny French is online, so to speak, and also Dean Wilkinson, plus, of course, Kadeem Hussain, Rob Nichols, all sort of regulars from that boy, and Joe Abercrombie, as we rightly said, up and on board from that point of view. Others will be forthcoming, I've no doubt. So, what's next for the Book of the Month?
Well, all our books for the authors for the Literary Festival are out at the moment, so I've had to go for something else. So I thought I'd have a change and do some non-fiction. So the book's called Say. Wedlock by Wendy Moore.
Oh, non-fiction.
Something a bit different, yeah.
Absolutely, right. Wedlock, is a kind of wrestling hold?
Or, no. Well, on the front of the cover it says, How George and Britain's Worst Husband Met His Match.
Oh. Time to say bye-bye, people.
Bye.
From Southside to the world. In association with Middlesbrough Library Services, it's The Book of the Month with Jill Appleton.